and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. With us today, the Executive Director of the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center, Anne Deschamps. And welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a long time since we've talked about ADA. Where should we begin? Should we just start off fresh with, give us a quick overview, the elevator speech about what the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center is, and then we'll get into the topic.
Absolutely. The Mid-Atlantic ADA Center is one of 10 regional centers in the country, and we cover the Mid-Atlantic region, which is Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, and the District of Columbia. And we are funded by your federal tax dollars to provide training and technical assistance and information on the Americans with Disabilities Act. When this civil rights law passed 33 years ago, can you believe it's been 33 years? In 1990, Congress acknowledged that, hey, people are going to need help in implementing this law effectively and breaking down barriers for people with disabilities. So they established what is known as the ADA National Network, which is made up of 10 regional centers. There's a center, any state you're calling from where you live, there's a center that serves that state. And we are the center that serves the Mid-Atlantic region. And we have a toll-free 800 number. And if you have a Mid-Atlantic area code and you dial our 800 number, 949-4232, you will get connected into our center or the center that serves the area code you're calling from.
But when I look online and I'm looking at your office, it talks about services, activities, and also it coordinates research projects. And that kind of threw me for a loop. What are the research projects that you'd be doing?
Well, that's a great question. So in addition to answering people's questions about the law and how it applies to their particular situation, we conduct research looking at issues related to full inclusion of people with disabilities. For example, right now we have a study that is looking into how older Americans, Americans over the age of 50 who are still in the workplace, and many of us are, who have disabilities, do they know about the Americans with Disabilities Act? Do they take advantage of the accommodation provisions that say employers provide accommodations to qualified people with disabilities in the workplace? It's interesting, Laura, a lot of older Americans do not identify themselves as people with disabilities. They might have a significant hearing loss or have difficulty walking and be using a wheelchair. However, they don't consider themselves disabled. They just consider themselves growing old and they have hearing loss. But in fact, they would qualify as a person with a disability under the ADA. So that's an interesting challenge that we have to convince people with disabilities over the age of 50 that they do have rights under the law and that they can take advantage of them in the workplace.
You know, that's one of the big topics whenever we discuss ADA is that most people don't realize what counts as a disability. And so that becomes an issue because it is. You have to speak up and say, I have this disability, because so many of them are hidden from sight.
Right. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's really interesting if you think about it. Our concept of disability has changed so much over the past 60 years, certainly over my lifetime. When I was growing up, a person with a disability was considered somebody maybe who was blind or somebody who was deaf or somebody who used a wheelchair. But when I was in school, I was diagnosed with a learning disability. I also had issues with significant depression. Never once did I identify myself as a person with a disability, because I was just having a hard time or I was just struggling in school a little bit. Now, over 60 years, thank goodness, we've expanded the concept of disability. So younger people look at disability a little bit more broadly and differently because it includes non-apparent disabilities and including learning disabilities, psychiatric disabilities. And so that broader definition has really, hopefully, I like to think, changed our attitudes about the way we see disability.
And disabilities don't just creep up on you. Sometimes it's by an accident. An illness can leave you with something that would count as a disability. I had eye surgery. I now have an accommodation of a huge screen that everybody is so envious of at work. But let's go back. We really need to talk about the ADA itself and why and who and what and what does it actually cover? Who and what activities? So you want to go into that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, so the Americans with Disabilities Act passed in 1990. And why did we need the ADA? Well, many people are not familiar with the history of how our society has treated people with disabilities. And unfortunately, it's not a very positive history. In the 1900s and the 1800s, people with disabilities were not included in our society. They were mostly housed in institutions. They were treated as less than. And so over the years, we built up our society with significant barriers. You know, look at our buildings, look at our roads, look at our streets. Everything that's been developed in our society was without people with disabilities. Now, it wasn't until really the 60s that people with disabilities started popping up in legislation like the Architectural Barriers Access Act in 1968, which said federal buildings need to be accessible to people with disabilities. And then we see the evolution of the disability rights movement, which was based on the civil rights movement of the 60s. And we all of a sudden start seeing people with disabilities out in public standing up and saying, hey, we are people just like everybody else. We have rights to be in our society and to participate just like anybody else. And people in society, Congress and others in power said, whoa, wait a minute. Yes, absolutely, you do. However, unfortunately, Laura, with our society built with all these barriers, we didn't know how to make it accessible to people with disabilities. So you see a lot of legislation in the 70s, including the Rehabilitation Act, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, where we're starting to include people with disabilities in our education system, in our society. Unfortunately, this was a patchwork effort, so it wasn't comprehensive legislation. So in 1990, when Congress worked in a bipartisan way, the time was right, and people with disabilities and a lot of special interest groups and families of people with disabilities said, hey, there are a lot of holes in this patchwork quilt of legislation, and they include employment, private employers. The federal government was already covered by the Rehabilitation Act, which said, you know, they can't discriminate against people with disabilities, but private employers were not covered at the time. State and local governments were not covered. Private businesses that are selling services to the public, the malls, et cetera, were not covered. So the ADA was crafted to kind of plug in the holes of that patchwork quilt and create comprehensive legislation. So between all the different laws covering people with disabilities, the ADA is certainly the most comprehensive. And it covers private employers. It covers state and local government services. So all the programs and services of state and local governments. It covers private businesses. And it helps teach us how to include people with disabilities. Because again, we have a whole society designed with barriers, architectural, transportation, attitudinal barriers that make it really difficult for people with disabilities to participate like anybody else.
Now, who counts? Or, and I mentioned that you need to speak up and say, I have a disability. Some it's obvious, some it's not. Who is covered by ADA?
Great question. So the law has a definition, which is not a new one. You see the same definition in the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. So it's been around a while. And essentially, in a nutshell, without getting too into detail, is anybody who has a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits a major life activity. So it really isn't about the name of the disability or the name of the condition. It's about how the condition affects you. And if it substantially limits your ability to perform major life activities, seeing, hearing, typical major life activities we would think of, then you are covered by the ADA. And so, again, because this is not a new definition, there's a lot of information already out there for people. And that's, we spend a lot of time on our 800 number talking through with people, especially people with disabilities like learning disabilities or like psychiatric disabilities, which depending on how it affects you, you could be part of the protected class or you may not be. And that's one thing that people can call and we can talk through with them over the phone, whether they're covered or not, because people like to think that it's the name of the condition. Everybody wants a nice, neat list of what is a disability and what is not. And if you understand, like you were saying earlier, the nature of disability, you know that just wouldn't, it wouldn't protect everybody who needs protecting under this law.
So are you looking at compliance and enforcement here? Because you can tell people they have
question.
To do it.
I will say right now, we definitely do not enforce the ADA. That is the job of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the Department of Justice, the Department of Transportation, depending on what title of the law, what part of the law. We do not enforce. We educate. We do not advocate. We educate. We educate advocates. We educate businesses. We educate everybody who's covered by the law. And that's a real important distinction because a lot of times people are afraid to call us because they think we're an enforcement agency. And we are not.
So you are there for an employer as well, someone who
Absolutely.
Wants to make sure that they are not falling into, you know, noncompliance. And you're there for people who need to want to question whether or not they qualify.
Correct. And so it's interesting, Laura, sometimes we'll get a call from an employer who has a situation that they want to talk through. They have an employee who's requesting accommodation and they want to know whether they can ask for documentation or you know, how the interactive process works. And then we'll have the employer call, I mean, the employee call and ask, you know, the other side. So two sides. And we educate them both with the same information and that it's kind of interesting when that happens, but
it happens.
It does. It does. It does.
Hey, if you are just joining us today, we're talking to Anne Deschamps. She is the executive director for the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center. And you heard her. It is one of 10 regional centers. She's covering PA, Maryland, Delaware, West Virginia, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. If you have a question, if you want more information about the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center, or to find the one closest to you, go to adainfo.org, adainfo.org. They do have a toll-free number, obviously, 1-800, then 949-4232, 949-4232. I may have just cut you off, but I was going to ask you about something you said about your research, and one of the things you're looking at is full inclusion. And full inclusion means careers, not just employment. It means housing. It means participation in recreation, social opportunities. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, thank you for asking, Laura, because it's so interesting when we talk about the ADA, because the promise of the ADA, and if you go back and look at the history, there are a lot of wonderful speeches made at the time. And I was lucky enough to be on the White House lawn when President George Bush signed it into law. I was a very, very young graduate student at the time, but at any rate, the promise of the ADA is really looking at fully including people with disabilities in our society. And what does that mean? The ADA is one tool, just as the Civil Rights Act is one tool that we use to fight racism in our country. The ADA is one tool to help teach people how to include people with disabilities. But how do we achieve full inclusion? And we have laws in place that help us, but it really is about education of everybody because, again, we're breaking down barriers every day. And it's not just the job of people with disabilities, it's the job of everybody in our society to fully include everybody else, regardless of their identity, whether they're including race and gender, and it because disability is the one minority group that we can all join tomorrow. It crosses every demographic border. So if you think about it that way, it's in everybody's best interest to help break down these barriers. Now, I say that it just rolls right off my tongue. It is hard to do because guess what? And you even said it, we're talking about compliance with the law. And whenever people talk about compliance, which I love, that's part of my job and what we do, I kind of take a step back and say, okay, remember why we have the ADA, because this is about including people with disabilities. This is about breaking down barriers. And if you start a conversation that way and then move into, okay, what do we need to do as a local government to comply? What do we need to do to include this particular category of disabilities? Then it helps people be more committed to responding because it gives them the why we're doing this. It's not just another law to comply with. There's a purpose here and a reason, and it's up to all of us to help with that implementation. And it is hard, which is again why the centers exist, because we want to educate people how to do this, and we're all in it together. So we've started peer groups of state and local government ADA coordinators. We have a peer group in Virginia, and we want to get one started in Pennsylvania and in Delaware as well, where ADA coordinators come together and they're in the same position and they talk about how are you including people in this program and that program and this disability, and it helps tremendously.
I've talked to some very aggressive advocates in Delaware, and they say we want to talk about sex, we want to talk about going out to movies, we want to talk about getting an opportunity to get hired for a job, and not something that keeps me occupied, but something that gives me a living wage. And you realize there are so many barriers, and it's not just a wheelchair curb or a large screen. It's dealing with insurance, it's dealing with housing, it's dealing with income limits. And there are just so many barriers for the disabled. I can't even comprehend how to even start a conversation on that.
Well, and you're right, and it is an important conversation to have. It's also important to realize that this group of, the latest Center for Disease Control numbers, one in four people in our country have a disability. One in four. That's 25% of our population. And everybody that's listening to this right now, they either have a disability or they know somebody who has one. So this affects everybody. And you're quite right. Employment is huge. Employment and housing are two ginormous areas to tackle. And Delaware Advocates, fabulous disability community in Delaware, fabulous. And it is so important to have these conversations and also to, again, it gets a little overwhelming. So you want to try and stay positive and talk about what we can do. One of the biggest barriers right now for many people with disabilities is access to healthcare. And doctor's offices and hospitals. And, you know, people assume the healthcare industry, of course, they know how to accommodate people with disabilities, but that is not true. They don't. And so they're learning along with everybody else, and we are helping to educate them. You mentioned the pandemic earlier. There is a whole new category of disability, people with long COVID. And these are people that, again, never thought of themselves as people with disabilities, and they don't necessarily want, you know, it's interesting, Laura, the attitudes that we have about that word disability, because we're saying, you know, disability, not able, when we know people with disabilities are very able. They just might not be able to perform one particular, activity or major life activity. So we have to kind of move away from our preconceived notions, much like we've started doing with mental health and destigmatizing disability, because it is so common. It's another identity, just like any other identity that we're bringing into work. And I talk to university classes all the time. And what makes me happy is to see the young people in college right now, in universities, view disability entirely differently than people my age. And it's encouraging for our future.
Is that through, quote, mainstreaming too, in school, that they were with, they had friends, they had peers in that
exactly
group?
Yeah. But now, and I have to tell you, I love that you use the term mainstreaming, and because I know that we are probably of the same age. So that term is not used anymore in education. But at any rate, you're right. They grew up, my kids that are late 20s and early 30s, they grew up going to school with people with disabilities. I certainly didn't. And so all the kids in the ADA generation, it's known as the ADA generation, very different experience with disability than we did.
You know, I went to one of the first college campuses. It was a commuter college, and it was built with the idea that disabled students, and going back in time at that point, that meant wheelchairs, blind students, everything had a ramp and everything was labeled. And they had underground tunnel systems so you could go from building to building without going outside. It was an amazing university campus, Wright State University. And but now I digress here. And mainstreaming was the name for it back then. But one of the other things that the Delaware gang brought up was transportation is a major difficulty, and that is a huge barrier for work. And here is one of the few positives about the pandemic, that now people are more accustomed to people working remotely. Now, are those jobs going to disappear on them now, or will this be, you know, the future of work?
Fabulous, fabulous question. A huge issue right now is telework as an accommodation. And, I think everything on ADA, the most common answer to every ADA question is, it depends. Two words, it depends, because it depends on the situation and the disability. Hopefully the jobs will, what the best thing about the pandemic is, it helped the whole world realize that you can be very productive working from home, something that the disability community has been arguing for years and years. So there is one positive that came out of the pandemic. And so now that people are going back into the office and employers are saying you have to go back in, it is done on a case-by-case basis. Most people who have been successful at working at home, it's just so hard to make generalizations here, which is why I'm fumbling over my words here. But in general, telework has become a much more widely used options for everybody. And that has helped employers understand that people with disabilities can work from home in certain situations, but it's on a case-by-case basis. And now that we're going back to work, one of the biggest barriers we're seeing is these uniform policies of everybody has to go back in the office, and employers forget, oh, we have to provide accommodations for qualified people with disabilities to do their job. They're saying, oh, no, this applies to everybody, including people with disabilities, instead of remembering that the ADA requires them to make accommodations.
We are getting close to running out of time. And what haven't I asked you? What have we missed here?
You know, I think the one question, the number one barrier for people with disabilities is attitudes. Attitudes is people's attitudes about disability. And as I've implied, our attitudes are shaped by how we were raised, about how what we see in our culture and in the media. And so I would challenge everybody to think about that and think about their own attitudes about disability. And to also, you know, I think everybody in our society can do their part to support the breaking down of barriers for people with disabilities. And please don't hesitate to call our office, go to our website for more information. We have a webinar coming up about telework as an accommodation, and you can get information on our website about that.
Do you have, do you offer these webinars fairly frequently?
Yes, we offer usually one webinar a month. And if you go to our website, you can click on training and go back and look at all our archived webinars, and they're all free. And all that information, lots of information. They're easy to get overwhelmed, which is why we really recommend you call us so we can direct you specifically to information that applies in your situation.
And this is like any other great toll-free number. When in doubt, just pick up the phone and call anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Another great Delaware organization always says that one of their taglines is, you can bring somebody to the party, but unless you ask them to dance, you haven't done anything.
Exactly. Well, if you think about, what does participation mean? What does full inclusion mean? It means in with everybody else and participating with everybody else. And that's great. I love that tagline.
It's a great one. So I have to credit John Busby for that one, but he always mentions that. And so here we are, parting words.
I think, you know, I think I've really said it all. I really would encourage people to educate themselves about how the ADA applies, because I think there are a lot of misconceptions about the law. And then get more information. Always ask for help. There are tons of resources out there to educate yourself. And I would encourage you to do that and take advantage of our resource, because again, it's funded by your federal tax dollars. So you want to take advantage of that.
Well, one in four, as you said. So if it's not today, odds are it's tomorrow. And somebody in your family, your friend, a close relative, you know, one in four. That's a terrifying and eye-opening number. So thank you for that. But for more information, of course, go to adainfo.org. That's adainfo.org. Real easy to remember. For the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center, which serves PA, Maryland, Delaware, West Virginia, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. And if you're hearing this and you're not in that area, they, of course, will refer you to the regional center that is closest to you. There is a toll-free number, 1-800-949-4232. That's 949-4232. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call it. They will steer you in the right direction. Thank you for being on today.
Thank you.
That is Anne Deschamps. She is the executive director of the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center. Again, adainfo.org for more information. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.